Hello, I'm Bruce Edwards, and welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. Today, the IMF's latest regional economic outlook for sub-Saharan Africa shows growth is up slightly from last year, but so is debt.
What we know also is that if we maintain the trend that we saw in the last 3 years, the debt will become unsustainable in many sub-Saharan African countries.
Jarek Wieczorek heads the Regional Studies Division in the IMF's African Department and oversaw the writing of the report. So what has prompted this recent uptick in growth? You know, given the last outlook only 6 months ago was fairly grim.
Well, this uptick, which is the acceleration from 1.4% in 2016 to 2.6% in 2017, that's what we expect right now, is actually very much in line with what we projected 6 months ago. It is modest, and it's rather tentative, because it reflects merely several one-off factors, such as the rebound in oil production in Nigeria, also good harvest there, and to some degree also developments in South Africa, such as the rebound in agriculture and mining sector, especially in early 2017. Well, importantly, growth in both countries, Nigeria and South Africa, continues to be weak and below both past trends and population growth. On the positive side, we've seen some policy improvements across the region and in terms of stabilizing fiscal deficits and reducing current account deficits, which helped reduce pressure on the exchange rates and contributed to lowering inflation. At the same time, as I guess everybody noticed, the external environment has become better. So one could expect that the growth could be higher in sub-Saharan Africa because growth in the partner regions, like the Asia or the Eurozone area, has been very strong. So why this is not happening? Well, we think that this is because the commodity-dependent countries in sub-Saharan Africa are still lacking momentum, and this is particularly the case of the oil-producing countries of the CEMAC and in Angola. Now, let me on this point say that we often forget, and we shouldn't, that there is a great number of countries in sub-Saharan Africa, about one-third, that grow at a very good pace. And that is both in the west as in the east of the continent. So we have Côte d'Ivoire and Senegal, Tanzania, Kenya and Ethiopia growing very, very fast. And all these countries are also important regional growth engines.
So yes, growth is up. But the report shows that per capita income in a dozen countries is expected to go down. And, I mean, that represents almost half the population of the region. Why is it that so few people benefit from growth when it happens?
Well, again, the growth that we foresee is merely 2.6%. So that's barely above population growth, which is estimated at 2.5% for sub-Saharan Africa as a whole. And in many countries, including the big ones, it's actually higher than that. So we have countries like Nigeria, Angola, and South Africa, and DRC, where growth will not exceed population growth. So that adds up, and indeed, almost 400 million people in sub-Saharan Africa will not see their national income increase in 2017. Why is that? I think that we continue to see that the impact of the commodity price shock is an important factor. And not only the shock itself, but the fact that the response to the shock was delayed, so the needed reforms to usher the recovery didn't happen in many countries yet and didn't lift the incomes. Hmm.
So the report also shows public debt on the rise and a growing concern and calls on several countries to reduce deficits and curb spending. Do you worry that will prompt countries to start cutting these infrastructure investment and social programs that the fund has been pushing hard in recent years?
We do worry about the way the reaction to public debt is going to impact growth and social outcomes in sub-Saharan Africa. Let me first say that the median level of debt has risen quite quickly from about 34% of GDP in 2013 to 48% in 2016. So it's a very rapid growth in 3 years. And mostly in the oil exporting countries, again, because of the things that I mentioned before, but also in some of the very fast growing countries like Kenya, debt has also been increasing. And here, maybe more on the back of large spending in investments in infrastructure. Now, the good news is, and we looked at how this presents itself in the region as a whole, is that most sub-Saharan African countries are aware of the need to adjust to preserve that sustainability. So this fiscal adjustment over the medium term is present in most sub-Saharan African countries' medium-term projections. Now, what we know also is that oftentimes these adjustments get sidelined by important considerations, other things that then stand in the way and get postponed. Our message this time is that there is not much room to postpone this any further, especially that if we postpone it and if we maintain the trend that we saw in the last 3 years, the debt will become unsustainable in many sub-Saharan African countries. So the important message is that this planned fiscal consolidation has to be implemented at the time that are opportune for that, which is now. Otherwise, we risk abrupt adjustments. We risk this adjustment to be more damaging to growth because it will be done in a sort of emergency manner and then could affect indeed the spending that are priority, spending on infrastructure and social spending on health, education, and other pro-growth spending.
So you mentioned the CIMAC region earlier, but you know, four out of six countries in that region, the Central African Economic and Monetary Community, four out of six countries are now under IMF program. Why is it that so many countries in this region are having trouble?
Well, first of all, most of them are oil producers, so they fall under these categories of countries that have been severely affected by the oil crisis, by the decline in oil prices. But let me give some granularity to the description, because the CEMAC countries have a lot in common. First of all, common currency and common central bank, but they also differ a lot from one another. So the three of the four CEMAC countries that you mentioned that reached out to the fund for financial assistance are oil producers. That's Chad, Gabon, and Cameroon. And the first two, Chad and Gabon, just like the Republic of Congo and Equatorial Guinea, are very dependent on oil. In 2013, which is the year before the oil prices declined, oil accounted for nearly 70% of government revenues in all these four countries and nearly 90% of the exports of goods earnings. So you could imagine that the declining oil prices was a real setback for these economies. Now, Cameroon is also an oil exporter, but it's a much more diversified economy and actually grows at a healthy pace right now. For Cameroon, the oil represented only 30% of government revenues and about 40% of goods exports. So Cameroon has been coping rather better. And then you have also South Africa, the Republic of Central Africa, which is a yet different country. It's not an oil producer, but it's a country that emerges from a protracted conflict. And the program with the Central African Republic is typical for the programs we have with so-called countries in fragile situations where a lot of emphasis is on capacity building and medium-term development issues. So all six countries have their problems, but they are kind of different. So the CEMAC oftentimes appears to be the region that we mentioned a lot.
You just mentioned the diversification in Cameroon that's helping them, and the report puts a lot of emphasis on the need to diversify in a lot of economies. And it's clear that private investment is important when it comes to diversification. But with all the political uncertainty in so many countries in the region, how can they make investors feel more comfortable? And what happens if they don't?
Political uncertainty is surely a factor that seems to be affecting investor confidence, including places like South Africa. Mm-hmm. Well, we're not really comfortable talking about politics. We are not a political institution. So let me put aside the political factors and focus on economics. And here, there is a wide range of options that countries can pursue to advance their diversification agenda. And the good news is that many of these policies will also boost investor confidence at the same time. So what the countries could do to advance diversification and boost investor confidence? International experience shows that macro stability is key to provide an environment in which businesses can plan their operations and investors make investors to feel comfortable to invest. But also, you know, structural policies to develop financial sector, to invest in health and education, to invest in infrastructure, trade integration within the region and with the rest of the world. And last but not least, the more equality of income and economic opportunity, including gender equality, is also a factor that helps the economic diversification. Let me bring some specificity to this, because these are very general recommendations, but chapter 3 we looked at more deeply at data and also at some case studies to look at the experience with the diversification in sub-Saharan Africa. And the widely held view is that sub-Saharan Africa is lacking diversification, that it's behind other regions, especially East Asia, and has much to learn. I mean, that's perhaps true, but if you look closer, we actually discover there is quite a bit in terms of diversification in sub-Saharan Africa already. And if you look at the experience of some of the countries that have been successful, we could find many options in which diversifications can be pushed for. And more importantly, that countries that have been successful in their diversification efforts have also been growing faster on average than the rest of the region. So our message from the chapter is that anything that countries could do to increase the diversification of the economy is also going to help them to sustain higher growth rates over long term.
That was Jarek Piatorek, head of the Regional Studies Division in the IMF's African Department, talking about the latest regional economic outlook for sub-Saharan Africa. You can read the full report at imf.org. And if you like this podcast, subscribe on iTunes or on your favorite podcast app. Just search for IMF Podcasts.